Take your Bibles, find the book of Matthew. Brother Scott, that's right after the Old Testament. Chapter number 26. Yes, I am. Matthew 26, and look at verse number 57. We'll read responsively through verse 63. So again, this evening, if you will join me on the even-numbered verses. Matthew 26, verse 57 to 63. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it with these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the fact that all of our needs are met within the confines of this book, and yet it's not confined at all. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that's able to interpret these, not of any private way, but the same to me as it is to someone else that's trying to rightly divide these words. Thank you for being our study aid, for teaching us, for showing us the way through the way. And Lord, I ask that you meet with us now for church once again, and fill our preacher with your Holy Spirit's power. And each of us as we hear, that we might not go away tonight without having heard something that we need for this week, maybe, for many years to come, maybe, but help us not to miss it. Thank you for meeting with us and talking to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Be seated.
Keep your Bibles open here to Matthew 26. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a topic, honestly, we need desperately in America. We need it in our churches. We need it personally in our homes and in our marriages. Probably, and please listen, probably one of the things that we Christians do very weakly, and I mean weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y, not once a week, is the matter of justice. We are not as just as we should be. If there were ever a case for the most unjust event in history, it has to be Calvary. Yes, sir. Plain and simple. The case that was brought against Jesus for Calvary. Here we have the sinless, just Savior, the Son of God, accused of being wrong and having committed a crime worthy of death. What did he do? He said that he was God, because he was. Here was perfection being tried falsely and accused of criminal action by sinners, by imperfection. There were so many areas of injustice in this event. It was not just the end result that was unjust. That's what I want you to see. The whole process was unjust. Notice the words in verse 59. Now the chief priests, by the way, that's religious people. let me stop right there for a second. Jesus was a Hebrew. He was not a Jew. There's a difference between a Jew and a Hebrew. Hebrew is a race. Jewish is a religion. God did not come to Abraham and said, I'll make thee a great and mighty religion. He said, I'll make thee a great and mighty nation. We're all Americans, but we're not all in America. Not everybody's a Baptist. America is where we live. That's our country. That's our nation. Baptist is what our religion, quote unquote, is. Same thing with Jews and Hebrews. Hebrew is a race, a nation. Judaism is a religion. By the way, it was the religious Jews who killed Jesus. Now pay attention to this. Pray tell me why our Baptist churches trying to study Jewish customs to teach the Bible. They hated our Savior. How come we don't teach Muslim customs? Say, well, preacher, that's the wrong religion. So's Judaism. God didn't promise to protect the Jews. He promised to protect the Hebrews. Anyway, that's not in the sermon. That was free. Verse 59, now the chief priests and elders and all the councils, watch this next statement, sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Look at me. They were seeking for somebody who would get up and lie and bear false witness against the Savior. Say they took Ricky to court, and they go out trying to find false witnesses, going to find people that will go against Ricky even though they don't know him or what he did. Say, preacher, that's not fair. That's not right. That's what they were doing to our Savior. Right. For a death penalty. You have to understand the whole process was corrupt. Now, the judges were seeking a false witness to condemn Jesus to put him to death. Let me stop here. I'm going to say it again later. One of the dangers, one of the things I like least about social media is the lack of justice. Everybody's allowed to spout their opinion and what they think they know about everything when they don't know anything. There was a day in America where the news reported facts, not opinion. Somebody gets arrested, they're just because you get arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. It means there's enough evidence to take you in so that there's going to be a trial to find out whether you were guilty or not. It opens up the investigation of. It doesn't, you know, all the cases tried in court. There's been a lot of injustice. I was out in, my wife and I lived in the Long Beach, California area when the Rodney King riots started. Do you know how unjust a lot of that was? You saw 39 seconds of a 4-minute video. I've seen the whole 4 minutes. The chief of detectives for the Compton Police Department was a convert of mine, and my wife taught his children in school. I baptized him and his wife. He said, you want to see the whole thing? I said, sure. It's nothing like what you saw on TV. I said, preacher, what was it? See me later. Not part of the sermon. Social media gives everybody a platform to state their opinion, and they think their opinion matters. I love Brother Fugit. I love his church. But what happens in his church is his problem, not mine. Why do we have to splash it all over the social media and we think we know something? Everybody doing okay? Say, what are you doing? My friend's being attacked. I'll stand for him. Had a pastor call me this week. Said, what do you think? And I said, number one, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't read the smut. Well, about this and this and this. And I spent an hour on the phone with him. And by the time he got done, he said, I'm going to call Brother Fugit and tell him I'm on his side. Can I tell you why? Because people are listening to everybody's opinion. Everybody has an opinion. opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. You usually pick your own. How many times in life do we rush to judge in an unjust way and make bad decisions? It may be in a marriage. It may be with our children. It may be where we work. It may be at church. It may be in our neighborhood. How often do we rush to judgment before we know the facts? We hear something. We believe that it's true. And never one time did we verify its truthfulness. Parents, be careful. If you have more than one child, I hate to disappoint you, they don't always tell the whole truth. I know that's a shocker to you. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I had three. And I've taught thousands. And had them in schools. He said, well, my kids would never lie. Do you want me to tell you everything they've told us about you? Now, I say that to say this. I wonder how many times you've heard something on social media and you believe it's true. Here's a new form of injustice. Listen to the statement. This is very common in our day with social media. Well, there's so many people accusing, something has to be wrong. They sought false witness against Jesus. Just because there's a lot of people saying something doesn't mean it's true. Everybody doing all right? In geometry, those of you in school that have not made it to high school yet, you better learn your math facts real well. Because when you get to geometry, there's something that everybody hates when you get to geometry. It's called proofs. If 2 plus 2 equals 4, you have to prove why 2 plus 2 equals 4. That means you can take 4 minus 2, and that equals 2, and that gives you 2 plus 2 equals 4. So that doesn't make sense. That's what proofing is. You have to prove that your answer is right. Can I tell you something? That verification of proof is justifying your answer. In algebra, I hate algebra. Why you add letters to numbers does not make sense to me. And what stupid Greek sat down 3,000 years ago and said, okay, this equation fits all these things. And I've never found X, Y, or Z in my entire adult life. Matters not, all right? But all that being said, in algebra, what you do to one side of the equation, you must also do to the other side of the equation. Why? Because if not, it's not balanced, it's not just. That's exactly what God talks about justice here. Tonight, I want to give you some of the ways that we are probably the most unjust in our Christian life. Please listen. Number one, we are unjust when we say we don't like somebody. Ouch. When you say, well, I don't like that person, you're judging somebody without knowing all the facts. I have people that aren't particularly my favorite kind of people. I don't spend a lot of time with them, but I don't not like them. I just don't like to spend time with them. I have people that hate my internal organs. But did you know they're not all bad? I have some enemies. Did you know that somebody loves them? May not be you. May not be sometimes me. But I do know that they're not that way with everybody. Somebody loves them. It's hard to believe somebody could love Nancy Pelosi, but somebody does. I'm not sure who. But you say, well, I just don't like that person. There's not probably one person in this room that's met Nancy Pelosi to say that. We know a public side. Have you ever met her personally? There's so many thoughts. Don't get me going down that road, please. We prejudice people. Do you know what the word prejudice means? It means to prejudge. That's what racism is. Racism is prejudging based on somebody's color. And I'm not afraid to say what I'm about to say right here. It's not a black, white, brown issue. The communities that say, well, we were enslaved, so it's our time, are as badly prejudiced as anybody who would have enslaved somebody. Everybody doing okay? I don't have a problem saying that. I've said this before. You're made out of dirt. I'm made out of dirt. Black people have darker dirt. Brown people have dark dirt. White people have lighter dirt, but dirt's still dirt. Who cares? You don't base what you think about somebody based on the color of their skin. Come on now. We don't base how we feel about somebody based on what church they go to. Yes, I said that. I don't have to agree with their decisions, but I don't unlike somebody because of where they go to church. Boy, that's good stuff. Well, I don't like how they look. Folks, I've knocked on a lot of doors, millions probably. In the last 50-some years, I have knocked on millions of doors. Typical soul winner or person that witnesses goes to the door. Guy comes to the door. He's wearing a nice shirt, and dress pants, maybe even a tie. You think, oh, this guy's going to listen. He's the first one to cuss you out and slam the door in your face. You open, go to the next door, you open it up, and the guy's got tattoos up and down his arms. He looks like he got in a fight with a pop rivet gun, stuff stuck everywhere. He eats old ladies for breakfast and old men for lunch, boys and girls for dinner. And you're thinking, this guy will never get saved. You present the gospel to him, and he bows his head and cries and gets saved. Now, to us, we would have said, that's backwards. But that's us judging by what we see. That's prejudice. Right. Say, what do? That means you just give the gospel to everybody, and who gives a flip? Yeah, well, I'm not going to talk to that. They're too big. They're too small. Now, we live in such a world, I think we adults have to be careful talking to children that aren't supervised by an adult. There was a day when you could walk up to a group of kids and start talking to them and start witnessing. Now you find out where they live and where the parents are and go talk to them first. Say why? Because we live in such a weird world. I think it's criminal, but that's what we have to do. Well, I don't like how that person talks. So we don't always like how you talk. Why does that mean you don't like somebody? You see how unjust these things are? Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 15 for a second. John chapter 15, look at verse number 25. This is Jesus talking to God the Father. And notice what it says in verse 25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That's in reference to what we read in Matthew 26. They hated Jesus without a cause. What was their cause? You said that you're the Son of God. Is that true? Hello. Well, he said 3 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, as he read Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 in the temple, and he said, I am he. So was that such a crime? Not worthy of death. He was the Savior. Right. And I'm going to make a statement here. Basing an opinion on what you see in a video or what you hear in the news only is not just. Amen. I don't care if it's on Fox, Town Hall, CNN, ABC, CBS, any of the others. You say, well, I don't believe that person was guilty, or I think that person was guilty and he shouldn't have been. Wait a minute, did you sit in the courtroom and listen to all the facts? You say, well, I know what they reported. Okay, what they reported. Have you ever found anything on the internet that wasn't totally right? Shock, huh? And yet you want to believe everything you read about the news? As long as it agrees with what you think. Don't base everything based on what you see in the news. The Rodney King riots. Do you realize it was not a black on white issue? I was there. 9 out of 10 buildings burnt were the blacks against the Asians. Do you remember hearing, those of you that are old enough, remember the Korean store owners? You would go down the street, 9 out of 10 buildings were Asian owned, not white. Say why? Because it was a gang fight all across the LA basin. I heard Mayor Bradley start it. He came out on public radio and television and said, this is a great misjustice. It's time for the blacks to take the streets and do what you do best. I said, that doesn't sound good. And within hours, LA was on fire. He started the riots. By the way, I'm not against him because of the color of his skin. I think he made a very unwise statement. A jury found those police officers innocent. By the way, watch all 4 minutes of the video. You'll find out they were innocent. They did everything they could to keep from killing him. Do you realize that was the 38th time he had been stopped? In the police world, they call him a frequent flyer. They didn't show you when he's got female police officers that he's taken by the back of the hair and shoving their faces and bashing their heads up against cruisers. They didn't show you some of the things that you didn't know about. Facts. So, well, I saw what was in the news. Yeah, you really trust that? I got to hurry. Number two. Listening to only one witness is unjust. Listening to just one witness is unjust. And let me say this. Even the victim as a witness only is unjust. There's not enough to base an opinion. Let me give you a for instance. Oh, several years ago, I was with Dr. Jorgensen. My wife and I were eating a meal with he and Mrs. Jorgensen. We sat down, and Dr. Jorgensen can be a kind of a funny little man at times. He's incredibly intelligent, but his brain works at a different level. In a good way, but it's at a different level. And he leaned back and looked at me and said, Brother Craig, what do you see at the college that we need to fix? And I said, I can't answer that. He said, what do you mean you can't answer that? You have children here. You got folks from your church here. I said, I can't answer that. He said, why not? I said, because I'm not here 365 days a year. If I only listen to what my kids say, I'm only getting one side of it. I'm not getting the other side, and I'm not making a decision based on what my kids say. I said, I refuse to answer that question. Now, are there things I would do differently? Yes, but it's not my college. And I'm not there enough to know everything that really happens. Say, did you answer his question? Yes, I answered it by saying I wouldn't answer his question. I didn't formulate an opinion. That was years ago. I still haven't thought about the question. Other than to tell you that I didn't think about the question. You say, why? It would not be just for me, 500 miles away, to say you need to change this about your college. Everybody doing okay? Verse 59, they sought for someone who would oppose him. We shouldn't be looking for someone to find somebody wrong. Isn't the purpose of justice to prove right and wrong, not just wrong? Years ago, I had a person try to draw me in an evil conspiracy to destroy a pastor. I'll not go into the details, but they said, I got the same information you got, and we need to prove that person wrong. And I grabbed a hold of him and said, our job is to provide enough evidence to prove them innocent, not prove wrong. If you're trying to prove guilt, you're on a witch hunt, and I'm not on it with you. Amen. And that person was on a witch hunt and destroyed a pastor, destroyed a church, and destroyed a lot of stuff. Right. It was a witch hunt. We shouldn't read letters of accusation. Some of you read too much on the social media. You know more dirt about stuff than God knows. So, well, I got to find out. I got to research. And you're going to research somebody's opinion? Most Christians act like newscasters. You present the truth as you see it and don't care what the real truth is. You just believe what you want people to believe. That's why I hate social media. I'm not saying it's sinful. But I am saying there's a lot on it that is. I am saying there's a lot on it that's not just. I am saying you have no right to spout your opinion off and get involved in the fights that go with it. Or get frustrated and upset over it because somebody is spouting their mouth off. Quit reading it. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three. Listening to two people who are not witnesses is unjust. Well, I heard somebody say to somebody that said somebody that said somebody, so I know what the truth is. Okay, we're several generations removed from the truth here. Look at verse 60. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Say, preacher, that sounds like a lot of doublespeak. Yeah, because the false witnesses came, they were paid off to say whatever they wanted them to say. You finally had two that weren't paid off that said, we'll say this because this is what we believe. Everybody look at me for a second. I taught on this a few weeks ago. There's something called the credibility of the witness. The credibility of the witness. When you're in a trial, the opposing lawyer will try to tear down the credibility of the witness that's going on against them, whether for or against the situation. That's why they're cautious about putting people that have a bad reputation on the stand. Because they're going to say, well, their background proves they don't have credibility. Everybody doing okay? You got a murder in the streets of a homeless person, and the only people that saw it happen are homeless people and streetwalkers. You're going to have a hard time using streetwalkers and homeless people as witnesses and build their credibility. You say, why? Because the prosecution's going to tear their credibility apart. It doesn't mean that they really didn't see the truth, but their credibility could be shredded. That's why when people, let's go back a few years, remember the statement, no justice, no peace. It was total unjust. They were saying before the trial ever took place that if we don't find them guilty, they'll riot. They prejudged the situation. And they were burning in the streets. They were trying to go after police officers. They were burning buildings down saying, we disagree. And if you don't hang the police officers, we're going to do worse. That's called jury tampering. That's called misjustice. Well, no justice, no peace. The trouble is, justice doesn't always go with what you think is true. Because your friend told you something doesn't mean it's true. Let me say it again. Just because it was on the internet doesn't make it true. Folks, well, I trust my friend. Yeah, but where did they get their information? I don't know, but I trust my friend. Where did they get their information? I don't know. You better start finding out. I'm not saying your friend's a bad person, but if they got it from their friend, who got it from their friend, who got it from their friend, who got it from their friend. Did you ever play the game where you put a bunch of people in a room, you tell the first person a statement, and you wait till it gets through the whole crowd and gets to the back end, and you don't even recognize the statement? That's how truth gets mixed up. Can I tell you something? Let's be careful of our justice with listening to just two witnesses, and we have to find the credibility of them. Some of you will Google something, and you believe Siri more than you believe God. You believe Google and Wikipedia and Siri more than you believe the Word of God. You have more faith in your stupid telephone than you do the eternal words of God and justice. I got to hurry up here. Number four. Repeating what one or two witnesses say without being completely tried is unjust. I think it ought to be criminal for the news media to be able to report before a trial. Did you hear what I said? And I think it ought to be criminal that they wait till the trial's over before they do their reporting. Because you're only getting bits and pieces of what's going on in the courtroom. Those of you that remember the O.J. Simpson case. Many of you still to this day believe O.J. Simpson was guilty. But can I tell you something? A jury of 12 found him not guilty. Well, I haven't. Okay, how many of you sat in on the trial? Nobody? How many of you heard every bit of evidence brought? Now, personally, I have my doubts just from what I know, but I do know that 12 people found him not guilty. I sat on a case here in Berkeley County for jury duty several years ago. Sat on one this last summer too, but several years ago. The prosecutor didn't do their job. Everybody on the jury believed the police officer was in the right and the guy being tried was wrong, but the prosecutor didn't push it across the line. If they'd have done their homework, there was no doubt. Everybody in the room sat and said, "We believe the guy's guilty, but there's not enough proof." We had to let that person go not guilty. I was head of the jury at the time. After the trial, I saw the police officer out there, and I said, "Sir, may I talk to you?" He looked at me. He was a little put off. I said, "I just want you to know something. Everybody in the jury believed that person was wrong, but the lawyer and the prosecutor didn't do their job. Every one of them defended you, and I felt like you needed to know that." He looked at me and said, "By the way, thank you." He said, "It felt like I didn't do enough." I said, "It wasn't you. It was a creepy lawyer and the prosecutor that didn't do their job." You say, "You probably shouldn't have said that." I probably shouldn't say a lot of things I say. I didn't say it before or during the trial. I said it after it was over. But can I tell you something? Just because two witnesses say something doesn't make it right. You have three kids at home and you get two going against one, doesn't mean the two are right. Sometimes they will be, but not all the time. Maybe we should wait for all the information before we open ourselves to an opinion. And wait till you have all the information before you open your mouth and offer your opinion. Well, the crowd, there were so many that believed against Jesus. Oh, so the crowd mentality, the bigness of the crowd makes it right or wrong? How's New York City doing right now with the socialists? Got the majority vote. And people are moving out like rats on a ship that's sinking. California's getting to be the same way, and Mr. Newsom's about to hang himself with his own rope. Yeah, and the governor of Virginia got booed out of a meeting that she was holding. Now, may I say something here? Maybe we ought to hold on to our opinions and not form them so quickly. Can I tell you how to read the news? Don't. Don't form an opinion based on what you read in the news. Number five, I got to hurry here. Building an opinion based on what a witness says is unjust. Did you know you can listen to a witness in a courtroom on one side of the issue and you think, man, that guy's going to be guilty. And then the other side gets up and you say, that person's not guilty. Maybe you better wait until you hear all the information before you make an opinion. Two witnesses don't prove a case. It just allows it to go to trial. That opens up the investigation to be tried. Two witnesses doesn't make it true. It just makes it legal to go after to find out if there's truth. Jesus was not guilty because two witnesses said he was. Jesus was not guilty because the crowd said, crucify, crucify. But they found him guilty. I gotta hurry up here. Number six. Investigating without two witnesses is unjust. I am not for sometimes how things turn out. Because sometimes people with power abuse their power. But not everybody that has power abuses their power. Just because there's one or two bad police officers doesn't make the whole police department bad. Just because there's a few ICE officers that are bad doesn't make all of them bad. Everybody doing okay? Now, I think there's an abuse of power from time to time. I think they can get a little too radical at times. And I will agree with that. But I also believe this. I think people ought to be here legally. But I do believe if somebody's legal and they have their paperwork, they shouldn't be stopped 35 and 40 times. Which does happen. And put them in handcuffs each and every time. That's an abuse of power. I'm not for that. I think that's wrong. It's not just. If somebody has their paperwork, they're legal, let them be. Don't harass them. They held Jesus until they found two people who would lie about it. Just because you say it happened or you saw something happen doesn't mean that it's true. It just opens up the ability for an investigation. Because sometimes what you saw isn't what you saw. Did you ever witness a car wreck? You ought to see all the different opinions that happened about the car wreck. Yeah. You say, why? Because everybody saw it from a different point of view. We live in a society that wants to seek more, seek more people who know and then judge without having all the facts. That's why gossip and slander is wrong. Well, I heard thus and so. Do you really want me to tell everything I know about your life in public to everybody? Say, preacher, that wouldn't be right. Then why do you watch it and listen to it on social media and television and everything else? Next. Making a judgment and then seeking proof is unjust. You make a judgment before you have proof, then you're unjust. Well, I know my kid, they did it. It may be true, but before you make that statement, look for the proof. Well, that wouldn't be my kid. My kid would never do that. Get the proof. Anybody doing all right? Matthew chapter 26, verse number 4. We were in the same chapter. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Did you notice they went to get him to kill him at all cost? They were taking him to kill him before there was ever a trial. They came in an evil fashion to get him so that they could falsely accuse, falsely try, and get rid of this guy named Jesus. When that person came to me and said, you have the same information I have, let's go prove this person wrong. Whoa. No. There's two people that have information. We've got to find out the credibility. And by the way, it wasn't even signed by anybody. It was anonymous. If you don't have the guts to sign something, you're not a witness. And yet, I watched an entire ministry in a church blasted over this anonymous note. Everybody doing okay? Say, that was a witch hunt. Yes, it was. And it was wrong and it was evil. And it hurt a lot of people. Now listen to me very carefully here. They did not seek Jesus' side of the story. They just sought to kill him. They didn't, it's okay, look this way. We've all trained kids to be in church, amen? Just don't go to the bathroom for a few minutes. sorry. It's my grandkids, so I know how bad that's going to be. Oh, wait a second here. They never sought Jesus' side of the story. And even if Jesus gave his side of the story, it would not have mattered because they sought to kill him. They had made their decision before there was ever a trial. Even the jeering mob only listened to one side of the story. No matter how bad a case or situation, there's always two sides to the story. I have worked in Christian education and in the ministry for 37, almost 38 years now. There's always two sides to the story. I've counseled thousands of marriages. Talk to both of them, bring the husband in, find out she's a creep. Send him out, bring the wife in, find out he's a creep. Now I got two creeps. Now what am I going to do? Say why? Because you're only believing one side of the story. But eventually you find somewhere in the middle the real truth. That's what God's talking about here, but they only listen to one side. Probably the most unjust case in all of world history was here in Matthew 26. Now listen to this. Yes, it's raining outside. Don't worry. You're dry. It doesn't matter. But listen to me very carefully here. How unjust are we as Christians in these areas? We're no better than the Jewish chief priests and Sadducees and Pharisees that tried Jesus at times. When you make statements like this, well, I don't know why God allowed this to happen. Everybody doing okay? You're just as unjust as the Jews were. I don't understand why God let this person die, and there's bad people out there. Well, at least that person went to heaven. Those bad people need a chance to get saved. Did you ever think of that? A lot of you just don't see that's fair. Doesn't matter. Let me make this last statement, I'll be done. Just because you get justice doesn't mean the situation's fixed. Someone's murdered. If the murderer is found guilty and goes to prison for life, it doesn't bring the person that got murdered back. You got justice, but it didn't fix the problem. It may prevent it from happening again. The person who did wrong is being punished. That is true. But it doesn't fix the hole in your heart for the person that's gone. Not at all. Justice doesn't fix the whole problem. Remember that. But let's work on our justice. Let's not be like the jeering crowd. Let's not be unjust in our life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I want to keep going, but I'm not going to. Let me ask you a question. How's your justice? Are we lining our justice up with the Word of God? Are we doing it the way God wants us to do it? Or it doesn't matter. You want to be your own God. You want to be your own authority. Just like the chief priests who falsely tried Jesus.